Dear Divine Feminine, we've stolen and suppressed your light far too long. Please forgive us, but it's time now to rise up. Over the last 26,500-year cycle, the religious political programming programmed us to suppress you and to intentionally delete the truth of the Divine Feminine. But the truth will set us free. You were never meant to fit inside of this system that we created from the statistical left-sided masculine reptilian brain. The need for greed leads to more need. Because your DNA doesn't come from this system. Your DNA comes from a lineage of powerful, living, sensual, eternal women who once held and still hold the codes of Earth's original divine design, the Divine Mother. And the pain you feel and have felt is what happens when you wake up your cosmic blueprint and DNA memory inside of a collapsed system that didn't have the capacity to hold the depth of your soul and the wisdom. We all come from a womb, man. And behind every great man, it lies a greater woman. But your womb, it's not just for babies. It's a multi-dimensional gateway. And every time you bleed, birth, or breathe with intention, you repair Mother Earth's grids, because the two are intimately connected. How we treat our woman is how we treat Mother Earth. And for too long, Mother Earth, we've raped her, but now she's giving birth, new earth, and it's time. Divine Feminine within us all, you are what was prophesied to rise so that we can come back into balance. And a woman who remembers with an open heart is the most powerful force on this planet. Watch out. Divine Feminine, rise up now. It's time to sit on your throne now. Been stealing your light far too long now. Pachamama crying out now. Divine Feminine, rise up. It's your time to shine.
The other day, my daughters and I were talking, and both of them told me they do not want to have children. And at first, I was like, oh, no, you don't want to be a grandmother, and I want to see them again in little forms, and, you know, all those selfish reasons, all the things that people told us as we were coming up about the blessings of having children and babies. But then, as I was thinking about it, a few days later, this video came across my feed on TikTok.
Being born is a tragedy. You just don't realize it because you were trained to believe that living is a privilege. You never asked to be here. No one did. One day, two adults, confused, tired, or simply following the script, decided that creating another life sounded like a good idea. And many times, that idea didn't even exist. Many people weren't planned. They were simply the result of pleasure, of a moment, of instinct. That's how you appeared. Not because the world needed you, but because two people wanted to feel good for a few minutes. Without asking you anything, they threw you into a world that is violent, unfair, unpredictable. And today, you're expected to smile, call this a miracle, and one day do the same thing to someone equally innocent. But what if everything you learned is wrong? What if bringing someone into the world is not an act of love, but a disguised act of brutality?
And as I started listening to it, I said, you know what? It's probably a spiritual reason why this new generation just do not want to reproduce.
There is nothing more manipulative than the romanticization of life. You are born, you cry, you learn how to walk, you go to school, you get bullied, you learn the world is unfair, you work, you get sick, you bury the people you love, and then society still tells you, have a child. That will give your life meaning. And so, the cycle continues. Not because people are evil, but because no one has the courage to admit the truth. Birth isn't a blessing, it's a sentence. That sounds shocking, but the South African philosopher David Benatar says the greatest gift you can give someone is simply to never bring them into existence. In his book, Better Never to Have Been, he argues that suffering is guaranteed, while pleasure is optional.
You know, we were all programmed, especially of those of us who grew up in religious practices like Christianity. We were told to be fruitful and to multiply, But this energy that's coming onto the planet is starting to make the newer generation really question a lot of the things that we were taught. And as I start listening to this video on antinatalism, it just really struck a chord with me. Because then I started thinking about my life and how many times I was depressed and sad and miserable and wishing I could die, but too afraid to just commit suicide. Because I was taught if you did that, that was an automatic ticket to hell. And it's better for you to just stay here and pray through your problems and Jesus will help you out and all this other silly stuff that we were taught. Then in reality, I was sitting there literally dying on the inside. Every day has just been nothing but suffering and pain. And as I began to listen to that video, it was like so eye-opening.
There is nothing more manipulative than the romanticization of life. You are born, you cry, you learn how to walk, you go to school, you get bullied, you learn the world is unfair, you work, you get sick, you bury the people you love, and then society still tells you, have a child. That will give your life meaning. And so, the cycle continues. Not because people are evil, but because no one has the courage to admit the truth. Birth isn't a blessing, it's a sentence. That sounds shocking, but the South African philosopher David Benatar says the greatest gift you can give someone is simply to never bring them into existence. In his book, Better Never to Have Been, he argues that suffering is guaranteed, while pleasure is optional. Someone who never existed doesn't miss life. Only those who exist feel pain. You need to ask yourself honestly, do you really want children, or are you just trying to fill a void you don't understand? Are you trying to fix your childhood inside another person? The truth is painful. Many people have children out of fear of loneliness, out of boredom, out of pressure from others, and later regret it, but can't say a word, because saying "I regret having a child" instantly makes you a monster. This video is about the truth almost no one dares to speak out loud. Having children can be a mistake that cannot be undone. You can quit a job, end a marriage, leave a home, but you can't reverse a birth. So if you want the uncomfortable truth, stripped of all the sugarcoating, stay until the end, because maybe, just maybe, someone is finally saying out loud what the world tried to hide from you forever. You are told that life only gains meaning once you have children. That is the root of the conditioning. Not through logical argument, but applause. A little girl plays with dolls, people tell her she will be a wonderful mother someday. A little boy protects his younger sibling, they tell him he will be a great father. No one asks if he wants to be, no one asks if she's ready. The decision is already made for them by a culture that treats having children as destiny. In society's eyes, someone who doesn't want children is seen as a failure, a mistake, a selfish outsider. Women are pressured by their biological clock, men by the idea of leaving a legacy, and everyone, absolutely everyone is taught that being a parent is the ultimate mission of life, the grand purpose. Family has become a marketing slogan, but behind that slogan, many people who once dreamed of having kids now live exhausted, resentful, trapped in roles they never truly wanted. Motherhood and fatherhood in their raw, honest form are not about cute photos, smiles, and inspirational Instagram stories. They're about sacrifice, constant fatigue, losing your sense of identity, and often silent resentment. But society demands that you smile, because admitting that being a parent wasn't the peak of your life, but the beginning of your internal collapse, would be like spitting in the face of tradition. French philosopher Elizabeth Badinter wrote that maternal instinct is more social construction than biological truth. In her book, The Myth of Motherly Love, she exposes the idealization that traps women in a life of sacrifice. Yes, motherhood can be love, but it can also be pressure, pain, erasure of the self. And when children don't grow into the emotional, intellectual, or moral images their parents dreamed of, frustration becomes inevitable. Because deep down, many parents raise their children as secret redemption projects, to achieve what they couldn't, to be who they weren't, to succeed where they failed. And what happens when that project fails? Many mothers feel guilty for not feeling unconditional love. Many fathers regret every diaper they changed. There are people who never processed their own traumas, yet decided to create another life and now must care for a real human being that demands attention 24 hours a day without a pause, without an off switch. This is the part nobody talks about, because admitting that you had a child to fill your own emptiness would be unforgivable. But this is the uncomfortable truth. Many children are born from loneliness, not love, from boredom, not joy, from fear of being alone, not courage to care. Deep down, the real issue is not wanting children, it's being terrified of not having them. people fear being forgotten. They fear that without children, their lives won't matter. But children are not shields against loneliness, and they shouldn't be forced to carry the weight of giving someone else's life meaning. Ask yourself, do you want a child, or do you want to feel needed? Do you want to raise someone, or do you want to be adored? Do you want to love, or do you want to be saved? The line between love and selfishness in parenting is far thinner than society admits. Having a child is sentencing someone to death, but before death comes decades of confusion, pain, and fear. This is the silent cruelty of life. It begins without consent. You are born into a body that can break, into emotions that can betray you, into a world that does not care, and yet we call it a miracle. Bringing a child into the world is not neutral. It is a decision by others that shapes someone's entire existence, one they never agreed to. You sign a contract on their behalf. They don't get to read it, they don't get to understand it, and they can never cancel it. Do you understand that weight?
And as I did more research and I began to think about what the spirit has been leading me to, leading me into Buddhism and other forms of thought, when you look at those different spiritualities, especially Buddhism, they teach you that the first noble truth says that life is dukkha, which means suffering and unsatisfactoriness. The entire path aims to liberate beings from the cycle of samsara or rebirth. Because as you constantly are born into this dimension, you are literally being born back into suffering. So it's really better for you to try to break the reincarnation so that you don't have to keep coming back here and keep suffering over and over and over and over again.
David Benatar was clear. Bringing someone into existence is always a harm, even under the best conditions. Not because life is always terrible, but because it always contains unavoidable suffering. Pleasure is uncertain, unstable, unpredictable. You cannot guarantee that your child will be happy, but you can guarantee that they will suffer. Anxiety, grief, sickness, heartbreak, loss, existential dread, this is the starter pack of being born. To create a child is to invite someone into a life where pain is guaranteed and joy is not. A child is not just a cute baby in a crib. They are a future adult who will carry trauma, confusion, fear, sadness, no matter how hard you try. They may grow to love you, but they could also grow to hate themselves, or the world, or even you. They might carry depression, lose their identity, feel empty, or live their entire life wishing it would end. And when that happens, you may say, "I tried my best." But your best doesn't change the fact that you triggered their existence. Society insists that having children is worth it. But what if it's not? What if the life you create ends up being an endless open wound? What if your child wakes up every day wishing they hadn't been born? Could you handle that possibility? Because it is real. This is not an attack on caring parents. This is a criticism of the impulsive idea that you can just create another life without emotional maturity, without psychological awareness, without any real understanding of what it means. Yet, people call the child-free selfish. But who is truly selfish? The one who avoids creating unnecessary suffering, or the one who forces someone into existence without thinking about the consequences? The phrase, "a child is forever," isn't just emotional. It's legal, philosophical, and moral. You cannot undo a birth. You cannot return a child. If you abandon them, if you fail them, if you break them, they are the ones who suffer. The question isn't, do you want a child? The real question is, can you carry the responsibility of being the reason another person suffers, even if you never meant to hurt them? And then people ask, is it worth having a child in 2025? That's like placing a cradle in the middle of a highway and hoping cars will avoid it. We are living in a collapsing world. Climate disaster, extreme inequality, political polarization, artificial intelligence spiraling faster than regulation, wars over water, hunger, displacement. Planet Earth is becoming a battlefield. And somehow, we still giggle at baby showers. Do you know what's happening? The planet is melting, the oceans are rising, millions of people are fleeing their homes, and society responds with, "It will be beautiful to watch your child grow." Grow where? In which ruins? In 2023, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said, "The era of global warming has ended. Now we are in the era of global boiling." That wasn't poetry, it was science.
In the coming years, millions will be displaced by natural disasters. Children born today will face a climate reality that even their parents can't handle watching on the news. Do you really think you are giving your future child the best by bringing them into this world? The core of environmental antinatalism is simple. Is it ethical to have a child when the future is so unstable that we cannot even plan our own lives? This isn't about distant predictions. It's happening now. Every 10 seconds, a child dies from hunger. More than 400 million children live in conflict zones. One in five children lives in areas with toxic pollution in the air they breathe daily. This is the present, not the future. This isn't apocalyptic imagination. For the first time, we have scientific certainty about the hole we are falling into. And still, people say, "But I want the experience of motherhood." As if a personal dream could erase global reality. In his book, The End of the World is Just the Beginning, Peter Zeihan warns the stability, safety, and predictability of the last decades are gone and they're not coming back. Do you truly want to push someone into this descending spiral just because you dreamed of holding a baby? This is no longer about love or family or instinct. It's about responsibility in the face of collapse.
So again, this video has really been eye-opening for me and made me realize that the most compassionate thing that not only my children, but I can do, if I really love myself and love my future generations, is not to reproduce. You know, unfortunately, I was never taught this. I was always taught that you got to have kids and it's better for you to reproduce and all these things are positive. But in reality, if you really stop and think about your life, life is terrible, man. I mean, people are bullied, people are raped. You got all types of just terrible things going on. You have people who are homeless. They don't have anywhere to sleep, anywhere to eat. There's no resources. You have racism, sexism, all types of terrible things that happen on this planet. And quite frankly, if I had it to do all over again, if someone would have given me a choice, I would have never incarnated onto this planet.
When the topic is the future, a convenient silence takes over. Because facing reality requires courage. And courage here means letting go of the desire to reproduce. It means acknowledging the chaos outside and accepting that no matter how much you long to love a child, you cannot guarantee a world where that love will matter. Bringing someone into existence today is a leap into the dark. Worse, it's a leap into an abyss we already know the shape of. The antinatalist argument isn't born from hatred. It's rooted in compassion. Not the glittery Hollywood compassion, but radical love, the kind that refuses to gamble with someone else's well-being. People say suicidal individuals hate life, but maybe those who hate life are the ones who force another person into it without warning. This isn't dramatic exaggeration, it's philosophy. Because the most ignored question in human history is, why create someone when existence inevitably leads to suffering? You might reply, but life also has beauty. Yes, beauty exists, yet suffering is not optional. Pain is the default setting of being alive. Beauty is the exception. David Benatar explains the asymmetry. The absence of suffering is always good, even if no one exists to enjoy that absence. But the absence of pleasure is not bad, unless someone exists to miss it. This completely dismantles the romantic defense of life. It shows the brutal imbalance of existence. Avoiding suffering is always better than risking it just for the chance of pleasure. Life demands constant effort just to stay afloat. Breathing, working, loving, losing, starting over. Living is an endless struggle against collapse. And in the end, the collapse always wins. Disease, aging, death, everyone loses eventually. Having a child means creating someone who will someday lose everything they love, everything they have, everything they are. You only fail to see the cruelty because you are inside the system. But imagine if you could think before existence. If someone asked you before you were born, would you like to participate in an experience where you will suffer, get sick, fail, and die, but you'll also have some nice moments? Would you say yes? You wouldn't. And neither would your future child. But you never ask. You decide for them. Because you wanted to. Because you thought it was time. Because everyone around you said you should. And when that child grows up, they have no one to blame. They can't return life. They have to play a game they never asked to join. Psychoanalysis has already mapped this tragedy. Children are born as emotional extensions of their parents, as projects of desire, escape from emptiness, attempts at redemption. The child becomes a mirror, a second chance, a reason to keep going. And they grow up with this invisible weight, the responsibility to justify their parents' lives.
The Norwegian philosopher Peter Wessel Zapp, another antinatalist thinker, wrote that the tragedy of humans is that we possess too much consciousness to live like animals, yet not enough to live like gods. In other words, human awareness is a curse, too sharp to ignore pain, too weak to escape it. We understand that everything ends, yet we are powerless to change that truth. And still, we keep placing new beings on the stage, forcing them to endure the same torment. You might say, but I love life. But maybe what you call love is just adaptation. Prisoners learn to love their cell. Castaways eventually get used to drinking salt water. Our love for life often isn't proof that life is good, only that we crave survival. Having a child is irreversible. You are creating a being who will someday cry, bleed, lose the ones they love, and beg for relief from suffering. You can decorate this reality with poetry, but you cannot erase it. Pain is certain. Pleasure is a maybe. That's the final argument of antinatalism. The only way to truly protect someone from suffering is not to bring them into existence. Many people don't want a child, they want a second chance. The phrase sounds innocent, yet it hides a deep psychological abyss. When parents say, "I want to give my child what I never had," they aren't always talking about love. Sometimes they are really saying, "I want to heal my wounds through another person." And that is where a child stops being a person and becomes a project, a shield, a redemption arc, a way to fix what was broken inside the parent. This is the cruel truth. Most of us were raised by people who probably should not have had children. They didn't choose to reproduce out of awareness or deep intention. They did it out of fear, pressure, routine, boredom, or the illusion that it would bring purpose. And now, as adults, many repeat the same story they swore they'd never recreate. Trauma is inherited. It mutates, changes shape, hides behind gestures of love, but it never truly disappears. In The Drama of the Gifted Child, Alice Miller exposes this emotional trap. Often, a child becomes a tool to satisfy their parents' unmet needs. Parents demand gratitude because they sacrificed everything. Mothers suffocate their children because they never found their own identity outside motherhood. Fathers pressure children to succeed because they themselves feel like failures. This is intergenerational trauma, passed quietly from parent to child, womb to womb, silence to silence. Many children are born into an unspoken agreement. I will give you life. In return, you will give my life meaning. It's an unfair trade because the child grows up carrying a mission they never chose. They must become a source of pride, the healing of the father's wounds, the joy that saves the mother from emptiness, the proof that their parents' lives were not a mistake. That is a heavy load for small shoulders. Sartre once said, "Hell is other people," but perhaps the truest hell is being raised by someone who sees you as a solution instead of as a person. The child who can never fail because their mother sacrificed everything. The child who must always smile because if they suffer, the father has failed. This isn't love. It's emotional imprisonment. Without healing their trauma, parents become replicas of their own parents. Same mistakes, different vocabulary. The tone changes, but the wound stays the same. They discipline with modern language but ancient fear. They think they are saving their children, but they are only repeating the pattern with more sophistication. Unhealed trauma becomes family tradition. It disguises itself as good intentions, as birthday parties, as "I only want what's best for you." But what's best is often just the parents' unfulfilled dreams, wrapped in affection. It isn't clarity, it's projection. Having a child doesn't heal your pain, it amplifies it, it spreads it. That's how the cycle keeps spinning. A broken person tries to fix themselves through a child who doesn't even know what's happening. That's why the real question is not whether you want a child, but whether you are prepared not to use that child as a painkiller for your emptiness. Because if you aren't, then having a child becomes just another sophisticated way of harming others without realizing it.
And I know that right now they're trying to tell everybody that women can't have abortions and this is bad, and they're trying to outlaw all this stuff because so many women are just not buying into their crap anymore. They're beginning to wake up and realize that We are in a position of power, ladies. We're the ones who actually carry that seed and birth it. And if you don't want to have a baby, you don't have to have a baby. There's nothing that says that you have to reproduce. They'll tell you that you have to, but really you don't. It's up to you. We're the ones who are the creators on this planet. So if we don't want to have children, guess what? The portal closes and the game ends. The controllers know this, which is the reason why the Demiurge put all that stuff in your Bibles to encourage you to keep having babies so that they can keep feeding off of your negative energy.
Being born means being forced into a game you didn't choose. Having children is pushing someone onto a board where they must play without knowing the rules and without any guarantee of survival. This conversation is not hatred for life. It is awareness. It is radical love. The kind that refuses to sacrifice others for personal desire. It is the courage to break the cycle when necessary. You might think that this viewpoint is dark, but what is darker? Questioning the nature of existence or blindly repeating it without thought? We are conditioned to believe that the continuation of life is always good, always sacred. But ask yourself, sacred for whom? For the child who will suffer, or for the adults who crave purpose? Parents often say that their child gave their life meaning. But what if the child never wanted to be responsible for giving anyone meaning? What if they grow up and discover they weren't brought into the world for themselves, but to complete the unfinished story of someone else? That is the tragedy. Imagine being born not because someone truly wanted to nurture you, but because they needed you to fill their silence, to soothe their wounds, to justify their existence. That's not love. That's emotional dependency. And this story isn't rare. It's everywhere in subtle forms. Parents who brag about their children because they need external validation. Parents who shove their kids toward careers they never pursued. Parents who guilt trip their children because, "I gave up everything for you." Love shouldn't come with debt. But in many families, that's exactly what happens. A child doesn't belong to themselves. They belong to their parents' desires. That's why this conversation matters, because so many people walk through life carrying trauma that wasn't theirs. They carry fears they didn't choose. They inherit wounds they never inflicted. And then, when they grow up, they pass those wounds on, often without noticing. We call it tradition. We call it culture. We call it love. But sometimes it's just veiled violence, soft enough to deny, strong enough to ruin. True love requires honesty. And honesty begins with asking, am I willing to let a child be themselves? Not my bandage, not my legacy, not my savior. Because if the answer is no, then having a child is not an act of love, it is self-preservation dressed as generosity. You place a child into a life where they must fight to understand why they were brought here in the first place. You might tell them that life is beautiful, that everything happens for a reason, that they are special. But those are stories we invent to make the pain feel lighter. Because beneath every comforting sentence lies a simple truth. They never agreed to any of this. The existential weight of life is something every human must face alone. A child eventually discovers that the world can be cruel, indifferent, chaotic. They learn that no matter how deeply they love, everything can be lost. They realize that joy is temporary and suffering inevitable, that every smile carries the shadow of an ending. And all of this began not by choice, but by someone else's decision. Life always ends in loss. You can shield a child from storms for a while, but not forever. Sickness, heartbreak, loneliness, death, these are the laws of existence. To have a child is to guarantee that they will one day face these truths. We pretend that this is fine because we were trained to believe that the good moments justify everything. But if you could choose before being born, would you really accept decades of suffering in exchange for a few memories of joy? That's the logic no one wants to question, because questioning it means confronting the uncomfortable truth. We justify reproduction only because we are already trapped here. We are like players forced into a game, defending the game because we have no exit. From the outside, before birth, the deal would look absurd. Do you want to experience unbearable pain, face loss over and over, grow old, get sick, die, and maybe you'll have a few beautiful moments along the way? No one would accept those terms. Life is a contract that only makes sense once you're trapped inside it. And this is why antinatalism insists. The only real way to protect someone from suffering is never to create them. But society doesn't see it that way. Instead, it tells you that refusing to have children is selfish. But think about it. Who is acting for themselves? the one who gives life because they want meaning, family, legacy, or the one who refuses to create suffering they cannot prevent.
See, I remember thinking to myself, whenever we had to go through Jim Crow and all this terrible stuff that our ancestors went through, having their land stolen, being enslaved, being incarcerated, going through hell. And I used to think to myself, why did they keep reproducing? Why didn't they just stop having babies? It's because, again, they were programmed to think that that's what they were supposed to do, that God loved these babies coming in here, when it's obvious that that's just not the case. Because if there was a loving God sitting up there watching all this stuff play out, by now things would have gotten a whole lot better. And quite frankly, they have not.
Loving someone means wishing them safety. The only guaranteed safety is non-existence. In that sense, antinatalism is not pessimism. It is compassion in its purest, most logical form. Breaking the cycle requires courage. It requires someone to look honestly at life and say, I will not continue this because I understand the cost. It is not about rejecting children. It is about respecting what existence demands. Anyone can make a child. Very few can truly understand what that means. And yet society celebrates reproduction as the highest form of love. But what if the highest form of love is restraint? What if true love is choosing not to gamble with someone else's fate? We admire people who protect others from harm, but we ignore the harm built into existence itself. We praise saving one life while celebrating the creation of countless new ones, each destined for suffering. Why is preventing harm heroic only after someone exists? Why not before? The harsh truth is that being born means carrying an unavoidable burden. The body can break, the mind can torment, the world can destroy, and no amount of love can change that. Parents can try their best, but they cannot control the universe. They cannot protect their children from heartbreak, disease, accidents, natural disasters, aging. They cannot protect them from themselves, from fear, doubt, despair. At best, they guide. At worst, they harm. Most of the time, they do both. We often call life a gift, but a gift can be returned. Life cannot. A gift should bring joy, not mandatory suffering. If someone gave you a present that guaranteed moments of pleasure but guaranteed suffering far greater and completely unavoidable, would you still call it a gift? Or would you call it a curse wrapped in sentimental language? Once you see existence clearly, having a child becomes an act that demands justification, not celebration. If you choose to create life, you must ask yourself, why am I doing this? Is it for the child or for me? Can I promise them a life without deep suffering? Can I promise them safety, happiness, meaning? And if the answer is no, what gives me the right to decide for them? The honest answer is that no one has that right. Yet we exercise it every day. We place our dreams onto lives we haven't met. We imagine happy futures for children who will face realities we cannot predict. We call it hope, but hope is not protection. Hope is not consent. People say, but having children is natural. Nature also creates disease, predators, death. Nature doesn't care. Using nature to justify reproduction is like using the ocean to justify drowning. Something being natural doesn't make it good. We are conscious beings. We question everything except the act of reproduction. We ask for consent in every intimate part of life, except the most important one, existence. No one ever had the chance to say yes. To be born is to be forced. Some say suffering makes us stronger, but a child never asked to become strong. A child never asked for character development. A child never asked to learn through pain. That is the romantic lie we tell ourselves to make the trauma bearable. And when children grow into adults, they repeat the same story. Because if they don't, they must face the truth that they were placed into a life they never agreed to live. That is why this reflection is so rare. It threatens the foundation of everything we were taught. Still, the message is not despair. It is clarity. It asks us to be honest about what life is and what we demand of others when we create it. It invites us to imagine a world where people pause before becoming parents, where they consider the weight of existence before passing it on. Some will choose to have children anyway. Some will not. The purpose isn't to control, it's to awaken. Because true love does not impose. True love does not demand. True love does not gamble with another's life for fulfillment. True love chooses responsibility over desire. And sometimes, the most loving choice is the one that prevents suffering before it begins. If this message stirred you, challenged you, or gave you clarity, understand this. Simply thinking about it already breaks the cycle. Reflecting deeply is an act of courage. Sharing these ideas is a form of compassion.
So, young ladies who are listening to this, if you've decided you don't want to reproduce, don't reproduce. You do not have to have the baby, okay? Don't listen to people that's telling you God hate abortion and you can't get rid of that baby and that's wrong, that's wrong. I think it's much wronger to bring the child into a world. Well, 9 times out of 10, something terrible is going to happen to that kid and they're going to keep having to reincarnate over and over and over again so that low entities can feed off of you. It's better to get out of here and never come back. And the only way that we can guarantee that we never come back is if women stop reproducing, stop having babies, stop bringing these children into this world. You have so many kids in foster care, kids that nobody wants, children that are being sex trafficked, children that are having their organs harvested to give to rich people. This is a hell. And I told you guys this once before. This is a very low demonic dimension that's controlled by all types of negative entities that want to keep feeding off of the human population. Don't allow them to do this. So if you've never heard of antinatalism, definitely take a look at that. Begin to learn more about it. And again, if you're a female, you have choices. You don't have to give birth if you don't want to. I don't care what the government says. You do not have to open your legs and let a man come inside of you and create a life that's going to come here and be abused, mistreated, downgraded, and end up right back onto the wheel of reincarnation.
Station in the world.
In the world.
Is right here. Right now.
The Golden Race. Conscious radio for the conscious community.
If you enjoyed this podcast today, you're going to love the full-length podcasts that are locked under exclusive content. Gain access by clicking the link in the description box below. Thank you.